Not even in my prime yet.
All right, Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast has returned with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Mr. Orange Shirt today.
The Carl.
Carl, yeah, Lee's got it.
Carl, I like it.
And Lee's back, which is exciting. As I explained on the last podcast, I screwed up. I got my days mixed up. And
it's good to hear you take responsibility for something.
That happens.
I screwed up. I had the wrong day. I thought Lee wasn't in town. He was in town. All right.
Yeah, so, when we called him, he was ready to jump in his truck and get down there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you're like, an hour. I'm waiting an hour.
I'm waiting 45 minutes for Kemper.
We'll hear what Lee has to say in a couple days.
What am I going
to
do, eat a scone for 45 minutes? Can't do that.
Two scones.
Getting bug bites. Testy, Ira, testy. So you are the water damage whisperer, Ira. You're Mr. Bill Curry Ford. You're Mr. Lobster on Father's Day. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee Tekemper's here. And Bill Curry Ford, they've got all these incredible July 4th savings going on. So get to the website. That's how you handle this. You go to BillCurryFord.com. Now, Bill Curry, founder of the dealership, C-U-R-R-I-E, that's the last name. It's not that they eat a lot of Thai food over there. It's Bill Curry Ford. And bottom line is 65 years family owned, third generation family dealership. Our buddy, Sean Sullivan, our draft guru, our good friend of the podcast, he's the GM over there. He wants to hook up every Bucks fan with the best possible deal, best possible advice and guidance. You can't beat that. BillCurryFord.com. You can find Sean there. You can ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount. You can actually message him or his email, ssullivan@BillCurryFord.com. He's available to you. Can you beat
is this
that?
Is this their biggest sale of the year, July 4th? Steve, it's got to be in the top three. Got to be.
I'm not sure it goes that direction, Ira. There's different times of year.
250th anniversary. I mean, we got a lot of things going on.
There's a lot there. That's why I can't sit here and rattle off 12 things going on. Click on specials on the website, and you'll see them all.
Don't you like to do deep research, Steve?
I got deep research. You know I'm having a computer issue. You're stressing me out, Ira.
Let's just say there's a huge sale going on at Bill Curry Ford.
Yeah, and also, frankly, you know, because our listeners like the behind-the-scenes stuff, I called Sean Sullivan this morning, and I didn't realize my phone was on 1%, and there went the call, and here I am now, and I got issues. So BillCurryFord.com.
It's a tough Friday for you so far, Stevie.
They are available 24/7 for you all weekend, open on Sunday, service specials as well. And Sage, later we'll talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. My neighbor's house struck by lightning three doors down the other day, and it didn't even rain long. So they were dealing with an issue. I don't know them very well, but I did leave a little note after the fire department came. I left a note on the door. Florida's Elite Restoration. They're great. I did.
That's like a borderline ambulance
with
chaser.
With the phone number? Did you throw the phone number?
Of course, with the phone number. Yeah. I just said, take it from a neighbor. And like I said, four doors down, don't really know them, but I saw what happened to the house. So anyway, we'll talk about that later. It didn't burn down. All good. But yeah, they've got some damage there. And they should be thinking of Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7.
Well, lightning might have struck the Bucks on draft day with Reuben Bain falling in their lap, silly. We shall see.
We shall see.
We shall see.
Howard need that said. Microphone on a swivel, Ira.
We shall see.
So Lee's back. I'll say he was on assignment. I don't know what he was doing, so I'll say he was on assignment. Lee, what you said you got a story or two for us.
Did you get out of the heat, Lee?
It was actually very pleasant in St. Louis, which is shocking for this time of year. However, it reminded me of my roots. Grew up in the Midwest, and earlier you're going to get a tornado. Sooner or later, it just matter when. Like if a storm hits here, a hurricane, tropical storm, just a matter of time. So I did what everyone back there with all the Germans in Southern Illinois want to do on a Sunday afternoon. You go to the bar, and here come the rains. And it started getting hairier and hairier. I take it back. It started getting gloomier and gloomier. It wasn't really raining where I was at. But apparently, all around the town I was in, it was really getting gnarly. You know, where people are getting texts and we're watching TV. Tornado sirens are going off all over the place, except the town I'm in. And the baseball and the golf matches, they all went to weather because it was severe weather. And it really wasn't raining where I was at, the town I was at. It really wasn't as gloomy. It was dark. But it really wasn't raining. It was like off and on. The feel of the bar kind of felt like around here when the hurricane comes. Everybody's glued to the tube, watching the hurricane coverage. And a first for me, one of the news stations had a storm chaser. And they were broadcasting live the Storm Chaser was, streaming. And that was pretty, I've never seen that before. Well, sure enough, the guy's in the same town where I'm at, which is not a good sign. Storm Chaser's in the same town. And they're, in the town I was at, there's only two main drags. Lo and behold, the guy's coming down one of the main drags where the bar is. And everybody in the bar was getting ready to run outside with their beers and wave at the guy as he goes by. But he turned a couple blocks before us. But that was kind of the mood. Nobody's panicking, but everybody's watching the TV.
And you never got the storm? You never got it?
Not where I was at, but about 10 miles away, the very same storm front, same storm system. A couple of people got killed. The bartender said at one time, we got beer in the basement.
We got beer in the basement.
I don't know. Lee texted
me. What a final line.
Three babes just walked in looking for shots in the afternoon. It must be something going on. So that's all I know.
So fun in the small town. Tornadoes.
Oh, boy.
All right, Ira. Look, we've got our share of things to get to on this rollicking podcast.
Rollicking.
And another buck doing another national show. It never stops, Steve. It just never stops.
And before we get to that, though, Sage, let me get to what we were talking a little bit about that you mentioned you touched on with Mayfield at the end of the last podcast. So Ira wrote his column, Lee, on Mayfield. I titled it The Race to Six, referring to 6 years. The Bucks have never had a starter for 6 years in a row. We're not counting Testaverde starting four games as a rookie late in his season.
The majority of a season.
You know, a full-time starter for six consecutive years. And Ira did the research. No NFL team has only had a guy do it for 5 years max. So the Bucks have never had the true franchise quarterback to go beyond 5 years.
Another unique element to this franchise. Again.
Yes. Bizarre, telling, whatever you want to call it. Unique. So, Ira, I was thinking of this, and I wanted to get Lee's perspective. Do you think that's in the Glazers' mind at all? Like, do they care about that stuff? Are they sick of the revolving door of quarterbacks that they've had, because that's a lot of stress. Quarterback's the number one position, face of the franchise, whether you like it or not. Is that something they're like, you know, we're good with Mayfield. If he's the 12th best quarterback, why are we going to gamble in the draft that the next guy is the 8th best quarterback? Let's just stick it out and go with this and ride it. We like him. We love him. He'll become a franchise icon. We're good with that. We'll make some money on that. Is that in the brain situation at all there?
I think it should be. Lee, I think it should be. Whether the Bucks had this crazy streak of nobody more than 5 years in a row or not, you want stability under center. Lee, it's the most important position. And, you know, whether it's bad draft picks, you know, if you want to consider Dilfer, he won a Super Bowl, but, I mean, that was a defensive-oriented team.
Wrong team.
Yeah. For whatever reason, Lee, for whatever reason, there's a reason your 31 other teams don't have the streak going. And a lot of these teams have guys that have been there 10 years. Or longer. You know, the Bradys, the Roethlisbergers, you know, guys like that. Montana.
Cam Newton, Drew Brees,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of
Ryan,
them.
Ryan, yeah.
You know, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. So I would think about that as an owner. Let's get the face of the franchise and have somebody there that's going to be long-term. And as Steve says, all right, so he's the 12th best quarterback. You can win with him. You can win with him, Lee. He's not a detriment. That doesn't mean you and I want to give him $60 million until we see what happens in 2026.
I'm not worried about the price tag. I'm worried about the production. And like I said, I'm, you know, spooked by last year.
What about changing quarterbacks, though, Lee?
Well, you said the Glazers should be thinking about this. I think they are and will and have. I don't think it should. And remember Mark Domenech used to talk about this a lot, Steve, that, you know, the Glazers want, and I think it's pretty well known that when the Glazers promoted Domenech, they ordered him, go get a quarterback. And through Domenech, he used to talk about the Glazers' mindset was, you can't have a lasting winner without a franchise quarterback. And that was key on your mind. And if you want to take that a step further, that is also how you make a lot of money. You have a franchise quarterback that's there for a decade, a Burrow, Josh Allen. That's how you build a fan base. That's how you make more money. That's how you be a consistent winner. So I'm confident that is a factor in this thinking. Like I said, am I sold? No, not yet, because of last year. I love every intangible Baker Mayfield has. It's just, you know, again, that I'm just spooked by the 2-7 ending. But I, from everything Steve and I have heard and read, I would be very surprised if Mayfield's not the quarterback in 2027. Very surprised.
I'm with Lee on that.
So let me go back to the should element of this. Lee, do you think they should be thinking like that? Or is that stupid thinking where you can't be looking for gems? You want to be looking at the Super Bowl. Keep your focus there. If you don't think this is the best way to get there, don't do it. Or are they more interested in the business side or thinking that they can blend the two? I don't know. I'm not really sure what they should
be. Lee, if you don't think he's the guy, then you move on.
Well,
you know,
not just that. More often than not. Yeah, sure, Sam Darnold won a Super Bowl and Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Those are not the norm. Those are absolute outliers. And you look at the history of the NFL, the Super Bowl, those are generally won by franchise quarterbacks. Generally, not always. So I think this all plays in. Yes, they want to do it, not just financially. And that sounds kind of, when I mention that, that sounds kind of coarse. I don't mean it to be. But it's also trying to develop a winner.
And the 2000 Ravens, as great as they were, Steve, they couldn't sustain it because here comes Brady and the Patriots starting the next year. And, you know, the Ravens can't get back because Brady's that good.
Yeah, look, the Dilfer thing, they cut him. They let him go after they won the Super Bowl. That might never happen again. So that's a weird situation beyond belief. The Mayfield thing, I think they are thinking about it because I think it just goes back to the replacement. Okay, we can gamble and hope we get a top eight quarterback, but we got a 12 to 14 guy that we don't have to gamble on. I think if they weren't in the NFC South, they'd be thinking a lot differently. Like if they had to go get a franchise quarterback to compete with the two other studs in their division, top eight guys, they'd have to be thinking that way. But I think they're very comfortable here, which the fans hate.
Also, doesn't it help your marketing, Lee, if you got that guy that you can promote?
That's how you make money, marketing. Steve may have had the line of the summer, if not the calendar year.
Wow, it's only
June.
It's only June. I don't even know what I said.
Well, yeah, you said if they were in another division. The Glazers know they can win a division with 9 wins, and Mayfield is capable of 9 wins. He nailed it. That I didn't think of it that way, but that is very astute.
That's why Isbitz is running this podcast.
If the Bucks were in NFC North, this might be Mayfield's last year.
Ira, if I was astute, I'd know what I said. I didn't even know what I said. It's out there, and I don't know if it's the right thing, but it probably works for them. Lee's on the money when he was talking about the Glazers. You know, that was a big reason that John Gruden got let go, is because he wasn't interested in developing a rookie quarterback. And that's what they wanted. Let's get a long-term guy, and he wanted a bunch of short-term guys and never felt good about a quarterback. So that was part of it, but I will reserve the right to say that the Glazers might have changed a lot in 18, 17 years. They've been doing things that lately with keeping Todd Bowles that I didn't think they would have done, with the fan backlash on Bowles, just say no. Screw all the fans, because, and I say all, I have no doubt that 75% of the fans, certainly the ones that I know, were like, what? Why is Todd Bowles coming back here? What is that?
It's a fascinating history, Lee, with this franchise, with their quarterbacks. Doug Williams could have been that guy, Lee, but the contract dispute, it looked for a while like Freeman was that guy. And then, you know, the whole Shiano thing, and it fell apart, and Shiano wasn't any good anyway. You know, he couldn't have won. I don't know if he could have won with Brady. Yeah, you know.
Not as a head coach. I think he was a decent defensive coach.
You know, Dilfer was a bad pick. He was never going to be that guy. And Winston's Winston. Like you always say, Lee, one of the few guys that threw for 5,000 yards, but that 30-30 club sunk him. It just sunk him.
I got an awesome Jameis stat in a second. But to Steve's point about they're in the NFC South, the landfill that is the NFC South, you know, Steve wondered if the Glazers' mindset has changed. I wouldn't think so. They were all on board getting Jameis, you know, franchise quarterback. And then Brady, obviously, you know, he was too old, but he was a franchise quarterback. So I don't think that has changed. I think it all goes back to what Steve said, the NFC South. Baker can win. The Bucs can win a division with 9 wins. They can backdoor their way into the playoffs, so to speak.
Is that good enough for ownership?
Wait a minute. They were on board with getting Jameis because they tortured fans with Josh McCown.
Well, it was the same mindset. You got to have a lasting quarterback.
They signed up the worst quarterback in the league and asked people to pay for it.
Here's my Jameis stat. The most pick sixes in a season. I can't remember the year, but it was Dolphins. A.J. Feely, there was another stiff quarterback, and Sage Rosenfels.
Wow. What a rogues gallery.
That was number 7. I can't remember number 2. If you, I could look it up.
And Winston's in the group?
No. Winston's number 6. But think about this. Jameis almost outdid that troika of A.J. Feely. There's another stiff quarterback. I can't think of his name. Sage Rosenfels.
Wasn't his first and last passes as a Buck pick sixes?
Ira, that season that Jameis threw all those pick sixes was 2019, driving the Arians train, throwing for 5,000 yards. He was the ultimate red zone quarterback. When he took the ball, when he dropped back, something was going to happen.
He kept both teams in the game, Steve. Is that the way people said it?
There's that video when he was with the Browns where he, in public, said that he was praying to stop pick sixes. It's one of his great prayers. Interesting thing, Ira, made me think of it during some of this World Cup coverage that we've seen Jameis, a Fox correspondent, going out with the fans. I've seen him many times and in the stands with fans. He's wearing glasses for distance. And it's interesting because when he left the Bucs, he had the LASIK surgery with...
Did he wear contacts with the Bucs?
No, he was always squinting. He didn't wear glasses, and that was his thing. He felt he could play without them. And so he gets the surgery with the Saints. And last year, very telling, which we brought up at the time, but it really drove things home when I saw him wearing the glasses again, because obviously his vision wasn't corrected perfectly with the LASIK. But he went on Pat McAfee's show a year ago and explained, when I was with the Bucks, I didn't see depth perception, linebackers dropping. I didn't have...
What?
I wasn't able to see... the way I needed to see
This stuff gets crazier and crazier.
Well, if it was as simple as that, he'd be a starting quarterback.
I mean, come on, Steve.
As far as coverage, he had some trouble with depth of coverage.
Get the damn thing corrected.
Do we really believe he didn't have eye tests with the Bucks?
Well, here's the thing. He didn't realize the issues that he was having until it was corrected, right? It's just like anybody else. If my hearing is 80%, it's all I know. And that's that.
How about a simple eye test once in a while?
Well, number one, do you really believe the Bucs did not give him an eye test?
I believe a lot of things when it comes to the Bucs. Yeah, they've been very dysfunctional.
Well, isn't that part of the combine even?
I don't know. I've never heard a vision test in the combine.
Well, that's one thing. The second thing is, if it was only his vision.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was only anything.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be starting somewhere.
But I think Lee bringing it up and made me think of it again.
Now you got Testaverde with the colorblind as well. What's going on with this franchise?
Is that one of the biggest, most ridiculous things of the last decade? You hired a quarterback who had vision challenges, probably got his eye tests from the Bucks, like Lee said, didn't want to get the LASIK because he was scared or concerned, or maybe he wasn't old enough, because I know sometimes they say your eye keeps maturing into certain ages, and they signed him anyway, and he couldn't see the way he needed to.
It's amazing how these things come out years later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember when he was at Florida State, he had vision problems.
Yeah, squinting. Yeah, he was great.
So yeah. It really isn't a surprise. I just think it's a bunch of BS as far as it's an excuse.
We're going to hear something about MRSA in a couple of years, about what really happened in 2013?
Real quick, Ira. The troika of Dolphins quarterbacks in 2004 that threw for eight pick sixes.
That's a big number.
A.J. Feely, Jay Fiedler, and Sage Rosenfels.
Oh, boy.
Talk about tanking.
That's the Three Stooges right
there. And number seven was 2019 Jameis with seven.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Lee mentioned MRSA, made me think of them.
I mentioned MRSA.
Oh, you mentioned MRSA. All right, okay. If you have a disaster at your property, call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They'll come out, free inspection, top technology, experts in the field all over the Tampa Bay area and beyond across the state. If you're in Lakeland, give them a call. You got to find horrible mold situation. Florida's Elite Restoration, they've worked on the insurance side of the business. Mention Ira when you first call, and they'll take those decades of experience on the insurance side, and they will fight for what you need to get your property restored with the money that you've paid for with insurance, if it comes to that. And check them out. Do your homework. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Mention Ira when you first call. You'll get $500 back if you need the service after their free inspection. Owner Josh Martin, he is all over it with his team. And you know what? I was thinking of it, Ira. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to sit down with Josh and record a what to do in a storm situation, because if we get another storm this summer, I think we should have Josh right here on the podcast ready to go, pre-recorded. This is what you need to do. This is how to protect yourself, because we can do that as a public service, and why wouldn't we, from one of the best in the business? I don't know why I didn't think of that sooner.
Somehow, Isbits and the words public service, they don't really go together.
Oh, I think they very much do.
You think so, Lee?
Yeah.
You think so? Right. Let's talk about another legend.
Yaya Diaby. The top Buccaneers edge rusher, until proven otherwise, He did a spot with the Insiders on NFL Network this week.
Well, the first thing I'd say is it appears that everybody on the current Buck roster has been on a national show. Next week, Josh Hayes will be on with somebody, Lee. Now, what I got out of your write-up on Diaby with a nice headline on it was basically, who the hell's going to block us? We got too many weapons, Lee. I don't want to splash cold water, but may I mention a few things? One, Reuben Bain has not taken an NFL snap,
yep.
Nor has David Walker.
Correct.
That's two. Number three, Al-Qudeen Muhammad.
Nice.
Except for last season, has never had more than six sacks in a year, and he's a part-time player. Can't stay healthy. Vea's best days are likely behind him. Still effective.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it is on Bain. And as you say, Lee, rightfully so, because you do your research, it's not easy for a rookie pass rusher to make an impact year one. I believe maybe Simeon Rice did it, Lee, but that's Simeon Rice.
Yeah, I mean, the Bosa boys, but not the norm.
Now, from an inside position, even Warren Sapp, I think, had three sacks his rookie year. I'm not sure he started every game. Maybe not in 95 before Dungy came around.
Mm-hmm.
But, Lee, I think it's way premature to make the, you know, I understand why Diaby's saying this, because he needs help and he's looking for help.
Mm-hmm.
But, Lee, until we see Bain play, I'm not going there. I think it's too much hype.
I do agree with you that the hype is a little over the top with Bain. I'm not going to say it's crazy, but it's a little over the top. I mean, I hope the guy blows everybody up, but, you know, I want to see it first. The thing with what, and I wrote this in the article that appeared Friday morning. On paper, I see where he's coming from. I absolutely see it. But that's if you expect all those guys to be at their top ability. And what has not changed, okay, you got Bain, you got Muhammad, you got hopefully Walker, although he didn't mention Walker, but I see how he's working.
You got Robinson.
Yeah, I got Robinson. Hopefully Kansas healthy. What you also have is a guy who publicly and statistically doesn't give a damn about an edge rush. If it happens, great. If not, that's fine. And I just don't know. I call me old school, call me stubborn. I just don't know or understand how you could have a top shelf defense without a competent edge rusher. Maybe you can, but that's an outlier. And I don't know why they're trying to strive for an outlier, strive for the norm. But, you know, that's Bowles' philosophy. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But that's him. And that's why I'm not doing cartwheels over the Bain draft. Will he turn out to be a good player? I hope. And everything says yes. But I also see who's pulling the strings. And it's the same guy who's had a crap defense for years.
Hey, Steve, this is not Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter with a history of performing. There's a lot of ifs in there.
Yes.
With the Bucs situation. Yeah. There's a lot of ifs.
Absolutely. Lee gave me a lot to work with. I was going crazy with my red
and Steve, can Kansi play more than two games? We don't even know that.
All right, well, let's start here. I'll go backwards. So is it fair, Lee, is it fair? It's a legit question to say that maybe Bowles has changed his tune, because what did he do? For a guy who doesn't give a damn about edge rush, they signed Muhammad, and all he can do is edge rush. That's the only thing he guys seems to be capable of. And they drafted Bain, who was the best edge rusher available. So maybe they've changed their tune a bit on what they care about? Is that
perhaps, but I've written this months ago. I see Bain as an inside guy in Bowles' defense, not so much outside. That's just me. Maybe Bowles has changed. But in the immortal words of Mo Howard, we shall see. I'm a burning bush kind of guy.
Bowles mentioned on the Sports Day Tampa Bay podcast, Ira, that he sees Bain and Kancey playing on the same side because of their incredible burst. They can work together, and he likes Bain outside of Kancey. So maybe that was a tip-off to something. Maybe. We'll just throw it out as a maybe. The other thing, on paper, Ira, you were saying...
On paper.
But I think what Diaby said was very telling, because Diaby's not talking about on paper. He's talking about what he just saw in spring practices.
I don't want to hear
when it. Everybody's healthy.
So he's looking at, man, we, for some reason, we got a lot more juice than we ever had, and no one's going to be able to block us. Now, it's a little crazy, of course, but that's what he's seeing, and maybe that's a tell because he's not looking at the paper.
Lee, are we putting a lot of stock in what a guy did against the blocking sled on April 18th? I mean, take it easy. They're healthy.
Yeah.
They're healthy. But Kancey was healthy going into the season, and we saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Vea's 31, you know. There's a lot of ifs, Lee. There's just a lot of ifs.
Yeah, that's why I'm not really going crazy over the Bucks this year. Way too many ifs for me. But, I mean, I see on paper where Diaby's coming from, and I don't think he's nuts if you're just going off of paper. But in practicality, I don't know, man.
The point I agree with Diaby is he didn't have much help last year. He didn't have much help. So it can't get much worse than that.
Yeah.
Well, the fun thing is he thought he did, and now he's realizing, no, I didn't. So I don't know. It's interesting. To go more hype, Ira, Cody Mauch was hosting his North Dakota State football camp the other day.
How the hell did you find that?
And he did an interview up there, and they asked him about Bain. His reply was, oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. That's how he replied. You know, and was lauding how intense the guy is and just, wow. Luke Getteke was on Sirius NFL Radio. Similar response. Like, this guy, you know, this is going to be intense training camp. When we can really fight back, it's going to be fun.
Everybody's going to be watching Bain, Lee, in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Bain. Because you're not going to see much of Mayfield. Bain.
And from a health standpoint, staying with the edge rush, the Bucks put out social media. They put out this, they asked the guys who wanted to, hey, we're going to throw your soccer ball. You got to trap it, do something with it, and shoot in this little goal. And then they scored them. Okay, so David Walker participates, and while this is not about the soccer, he scores a goal. What does he do after he scores the goal? He does an explosive backflip like JPP in his prime. So if he's cleared to do backflips coming crashing down on his knees, he's probably pretty damn healthy. So I took that as a good sign.
That reminds me of Tristan Wirfs erupting out of the water.
Yeah,
that's one of the great videos. And, you know, before he took his first pro snap, I was thinking, like, it doesn't mean anything. Then it turns out to be, man, he's the Bucks' best player. He's fantastic.
I mean, you don't see a lot of 6'1", 250-pound guys.
I did it last week. I did it last week.
You're not 6'1", though.
Yeah, you're 6'2".
But I'm 250.
Hey, look, the hype's fun.
I can't. I don't mind Diaby getting excited. Lee, I don't mind that.
I can see where he's coming from, but in practicality, I got to see it. I got to see it.
What's a fair expectation for Bain, Steve? What's fair?
Expectation?
7.5 sacks? I mean, what are we looking at?
No, the fair expectation is be strong against the run. There's no, you're built to stop the run like an animal off the edge. And have a consistent pass rush. If that turns into 5.5 sacks or 11, just be consistent because they've been so inconsistent and weak. You look at guys on the Bucks' edge the last few years, it looks like they're taking plays off. You know, there's no resistance.
Speaking of being strong against the run, I think they might have improved their run defense significantly because I think Bain is strong against the run.
Mm-hmm.
Anzalone, I think, is an upgrade on Dennis. And
I want to use all kinds of expletives about how much of an upgrade that is.
And Lee Trotter's strength supposedly is as a run defender. So all those missed tackles and lack of hustle, maybe they've addressed that. And Robinson is a strong run defender, too, inside.
Now, a special edition of the Joe Bucks Fan Show Friday will be filling in for Nick Wise, 95.7 WDAE, noon to 2. Ira, this is puts you in the spotlight, Ira Kaufman.
What's on the lunch menu before I get into the studio, Steve?
We're going to work on that. We're going to have some serious
maybe
lunch.
Maybe an empanada or something like that. You know, Lee's always talking about going to the Latin restaurants over there. I wouldn't mind a little of that. Little shredded pork or something.
I think it's going to have to be post-show.
Oh, post-show.
Yeah, we don't need you loading
burping.
Up. Yeah.
Don't forget the hush puppies, too, Steve.
No windows in the studio, Ira. We got to be very careful. All right. You can listen on iHeartRadio app and write at joebucksfan.com. So,
By the way, Cosmo's getting nervous about he knows July 4th's coming with the fireworks. He don't like it.
Now, that's your dog.
He doesn't like it.
Are you still doing the blanket that you put on him?
No, I kind of smother him for an hour and a half, and he's barking at me because I'm choking him. He can't breathe, but, you know, a little body warmth goes a long way. All right. I'm not putting him in the kennel. He doesn't go in the kennel on July 4th. He stays right here in Casa Kaufman.
Some disturbing visuals, Ira. Especially now that we know Cosmo.
I understand.
Lee and I know
him. You guys have
know him personally now. I don't know. All right. Maybe you need a soundproof room.
I don't know about your cats, Steve. You got cats. Do they get nervous?
They don't care.
They don't care.
So, Todd Bowles, Ira, we were talking about him much earlier. The comments from James Harrison and Joe Hayden. Bowles saying that Bucks players took plays off last year with a lead, but we've got lines in the sand for Baker Mayfield. Every fan, I think, has, hey, Baker better do this year, or well, I don't want him renewed if he doesn't have a new contract. He better, you know, get back to 35 touchdowns or this or whatever line. He better stay healthy. Whatever they have, they've got benchmarks for Baker Mayfield. Does Todd Bowles have a benchmark with this Bucks defense for him to be able to return next year? We know he's on a hot seat. But is it just about the record? That's really what I'm asking. Is it just about the record? If the defense absolutely stinks again, but the offense is back to where it was with Liam Cohen and they find their way to a 10-11 win season in the NFC South landfill, is that enough to keep Bowles? Or does he have real accountability with his defense?
He's calling the signals that there's nobody else to blame on this defense. Whether gets the credit if they do well, he's going to take the blame, as he should. And, Lee, it'd be nice to be in the top half of the scoring defense in the league. It'd be nice. As far as the benchmark for Mayfield, he just mentioned the benchmark. You know what my benchmark for Mayfield is? How many points per game is this offense scoring? Mm. That's my benchmark. If you're scoring 27 points, I'm keeping you. This defense got a long way to go, Lee. It was that bad last year. And by the way, you know, we mentioned it, but I don't think we're giving this enough attention. What other coach in the league is talking about their players taking plays off? This is almost unprecedented.
I don't know if it's unprecedented.
Let's not normalize this.
I don't know if it's unprecedented in the sense that, you know, a coach would be critical of his own defense. I'm glad you brought this up. I listened to, you know, even though I was out of town, I listened to the last couple podcasts, and Steve was really emphasizing that, and I applaud Bowles for his candor, but who's been screaming for 6 months that the defense quit on Bowles? Same guy talking right now.
You.
Yeah, so it's like, I appreciate Bowles' candor, but this doesn't surprise me in any way. I saw it with my own eyes.
Steve, it's a hell of an admission. It's a hell of an admission for the guy that calls the defensive signals and picks the defensive players, who's starting and what positions they're playing in. And it's not like he's weighing in on a unit that he doesn't have direct involvement in.
Well, here's the thing, and you know these nuances are very important, at least to me. Anyway, he didn't say it was the defense taking plays off.
Oh.
He implied the defense, but he didn't say, and our defense takes plays off. He just said, we get a lead, guys start taking plays off.
Well, we already got the McCollum quotes. We got those, that's why we linked them.
And we know the Levante David admitted to loafing.
Yes.
And we all assume it was the defense because we watched the defense. We saw Tyke Smith inexplicably not run and break late on a guy against Miami and get burned deep for no apparent reason. We know his shoulders were bothering him, but not his legs. And so there's a lot of stuff out there, but was he talking about special teams? Guys flat out quitting on special teams?
Probably.
Was he implying that, hey, you know, maybe Luke Getteke, your four penalties you were flagged for against Carolina in a big game, you took a couple plays off, man. Where was your head? I don't know. So I don't want to assume that it was just the defense or only the defense. So I got to say that. But if it's more than the defense, that's even worse.
Well, that explains why you were emphasizing that quote so much.
I just think it's very uncommon for a coach to talk about his players taking plays off. It's uncommon.
Steve, you were asking about benchmarks for the defense and for Bowles' comeback. I don't think there are any. If there were benchmarks, you could argue Bowles shouldn't even be back right now if there were benchmarks. I think the benchmark, if there is one, it's wins. That's what I think. I think that's the benchmark. If the if they win 10 games and somehow get the NFC Championship game and the defense is terrible, so what?
Yeah.
In the Glazers' eyes.
Well, you got to the NFC Championship. You're talking about making a deep playoff run.
Yeah. And I don't know how you do that with a rotten defense, but if the offense is excellent, maybe they could.
Is that right, Ira? Is wins now? I agree with Lee. NFC Championship game, of course he's coming back. But is just 10 wins enough? Suppose they win 10 and don't make the playoffs.
Oh, no, that's not a different
that's
story.
That's happened before.
Yeah, that's a different story.
We're talking about the NFC South. Take it easy.
I understand.
10 wins is a good total, Lee. It's a good total in the National Football League.
Well,
it's hard to fire a guy after 10 wins.
But
suppose
your defense is horrible.
Did he win a division? Did he make the playoffs? I mean, all that goes into the mix.
How about this? If the defense is horrible, but they win a bunch of games, 10 games, do the Glazers say, Todd, you need a defensive coordinator?
Next thing you know, he'll need everything. I mean,
I know. Yeah. And you're not wrong. You can make that argument right now. Yeah.
Well, I'm on record saying if you go to Bowles and say you need a defensive coordinator, why are you keeping him?
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. Yeah. It would be like going I was about to say Andy Reid, but I can't compare Todd Bowles and Andy Reid. I don't know. I think there's got to be some sort of defensive accountability for Bowles. If the offense is back to 2024 levels, which isn't exactly a stretch, if they're back to where they were in 2024.
That's a high level. It's a high level.
I know, but we're not multi-years removed with a million different players. If they're back to that and the defense is horrible, well, what are we doing? There's got to be something in the sand. Now, here's something crazy for you, Ira. ESPN, that's why we often call it BSPN. But anyway, ESPN, Mina Kimes has her podcast/show. And she brought on J.P. Acosta, who's an NFL analyst, a real data guy for CBS. And they went back and forth discussing and ranking and figuring out who is in their top 10 defenses for 2026. And I saw the headline on the podcast. I'm like, well, the Bucs can't be in here. But, you know, this soccer game is a little boring, and I'm going to listen. So listening, I'm fast-forwarding a little bit. Next thing I know, number 8, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mina Kimes, says that they're the top 8 defense. And Acosta says, oh, man, I had them at number 10, blah, blah, blah.
They must be focusing on Bane. They got to be talking about Bane.
There's heavy focus on Bane, but the data people know how bad the Bucs defense was last year, and they see new players, more consistent players like Anzalone and A'shaun Robinson, and they're thinking there's improvement there with Bane. I don't know. Is it insane to think that this could be a top 10 defense?
It'd be a beautiful thing, Lee. Yeah. A beautiful thing. Again, as you always say, Lee, prove it. Go out there and prove it. Let me see what Bane does at the next level. Trotter, let me see what you're doing. Muhammad, was that a fluke? Nobody was climbing over people to get you in free agency. a guy that had 11 sacks, Lee, there's got to be a reason. Now, he is weak against the run. Okay, so you don't play him on first down. I understand that. Scott's going to play a pivotal role. We don't, you know, he hasn't taken a snap yet. It's a big jump, Lee, from where they are, that putrid, to top 10. I'm hoping they get to 16. I'll stop at 16. I think they got the makings of a pretty damn good offense if the line is healthy.
Here's why I think that's a bit much to expect them to be a top 10. Clearly, they're banking on three rookies on each rookie on each level of defense. Bane, Trotter, Keontae Scott. I assume Keontae Scott's going to be the nickel. I mean, the Bucs have 20,000 nickel corners, but they don't have any stud starting corner. Are you really expecting a defense with a rookie on each level to be top three? That's asking a lot.
It is.
Top three, you said?
Or top 10. Top 10. I got three in my brain because it's three
Steve,
levels.
This is for a future podcast, but this guy's out there. He's a veteran. He's a corner. Now, maybe he's asking for too much money, but he's out there. Kenny Moore. I mean, he's a good player, Lee. And I'm concerned about the depth at corner.
I am too.
And frankly, so's Todd Bowles, I think.
Well, if he is, he hides it pretty well.
Now, I don't know what Kenny, you know, I'm not giving this guy $10 million, but Steve, he's an established player who's done things in this league.
Look, I really want to see Benjamin Morrison get through 3 preseason games. I want to see this guy bang his way through 3 preseason games. Let him play some special teams. Let's see if he's really healthy and can do that, because he didn't do that in the regular season.
Give him a lot of playing time, yeah, Lee, in the preseason. Yeah. Morrison.
Well, first you got to hope the guy's on the field.
Exactly.
That's step one.
I want to see him play 2 games in a row, you know, full time.
Because right now he's Kalijah Kansi of cornerbacks.
You know, and McCollum's got a lot to prove.
He's got to bounce back, period. Magnifying glass on him, certainly.
I like that. Kalijah Kansi of cornerbacks. That was fun. That was fun.
Did Lee say that?
He just said it.
Outstandingly.
That's memory loss. He just said it 10 seconds ago.
I didn't hear him. Ira had a senior moment.
Yeah.
That's a little unfair, but he's on his way. He's on his way after his first year.
Now, having said that, and Lee, I know you're with me on this.
Because Kansi did produce his first year.
Lee, I know you're with me. If in capital letters,
ooh,
if the pass rush is significantly better, the secondary will look significantly better.
No question.
That's the way it goes in the NFL.
Exactly. No question.
Lee, I'm looking at 2 things on this cockeyed defense. One, Can you put the quarterback under consistent duress?
Up for debate.
Which they didn't do last year.
No.
And number two, can you cover the running backs and the tight ends? They get chewed up by these people.
You're still
chewed up. I'm still talking about the flats.
You're still worked up about Bijan Robinson.
I still am. You know, cover the damn back in the flat and make the tackle, or get the second guy to make the tackle.
I'll just say this about Muhammad.
And it kills you again. They got to play Gibbs. You know, they got to play Robinson. Kamara can still do some things.
Well, I think Kamara's just about toast.
Yeah, just about toast.
With Muhammad, I still can't get over the fact that a guy had 11 sacks and couldn't start one game. Now, okay, I get it. He wasn't good against the run. So you're telling me teams don't throw one first down? That's a mental leap for me that I can't make. Why was that?
Are you having any mental leaps you can't make?
I'm just trying to I'm trying not to use spell check on my columns.
A lot of really interesting question marks, and I've said this before.
Not a lot of question marks on offense. Not a lot of question marks.
No. Maybe with Ibuka, maybe with Mayfield.
Maybe Irving. Maybe.
Well, that's the biggest question
Irving's
mark,
probably the biggest question mark, but no. You know, Otten got the contract. He's been very durable.
Maybe Godwin. Maybe.
Well, I think there's a question on all the receivers. I'm not saying they're bad. Well, for example, and I hate to reference him because he's an a-hole, but this Billy Barnwell character, you know, follically challenged. You know, he basically wrote a story this week. How big are the Bucs' big three at receiver? Ibuka had an up-and-down season. Godwin's 30 coming off of a bad wheel. He looks great, but as Barnwell wrote, do we know he's going to finish the season healthy? And then there's still kind of a question mark about Jalen McMillan. We think he's going to be good, but there again, he only played a couple games last year.
I like the Bucs receiving
course,
Steve. Yeah,
I'm not worried about him.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree, but there are question marks in all three of them. I think legitimate.
I'd be surprised if Ibuka doesn't have 1,000 yards this year. I think he's going to get it.
I'd be surprised, too. He seems durable, and he's going to get the targets, and he almost hit it last year despite falling off the map. So, you know, 940, I think he had something
like
that. And
if Godwin does the dirty work inside, I think Ibuka could have a big year.
To me, the key is if Godwin stays healthy. If he stays healthy, I don't think there's going to be any issues with the receivers.
I guess you could say Mayfield's a question mark, the way he finished, health-wise and all that. It's going to be very interesting. I saw the teaser for the quarterback on Netflix, and just a little bit of Mayfield that's woven in there with Joe Flacco and Daniels. You see a little bit of Mayfield, but they get into some of his injuries. And even in that little teaser, he says, if I'm 50%, you know, sometimes I'm 50%, and talked about staying on the field. So it'll be interesting what comes out of that. And hopefully it wasn't a distraction last year, but I'm at least hopeful that maybe it did distract him a little bit, and he won't have that this year.
And Lee, maybe the coaching staff would have a little more confidence in the backup to Mayfield, where you might sit him one game if things accumulate and you think the guy's, you know, he's 40%. Let's go with Browning. He's got experience.
And I'm not anti-Browning, and there have been times where he looked very good. My issue about backup quarterbacks and Mayfield, you know, Mayfield saying, you know, 50%, was 50% Mayfield better than 100% Bridgewater? That's my first question. The second question, and it's a rhetorical question, but I've asked this ever since last season was over with. If you didn't trust Teddy Bridgewater, then why the hell was he on the roster?
That's a fair question, Steve.
Yeah, and also, Sage, before we get out of here, if Mayfield does not have a contract this season going through 26 and he's pending free agent, if he's 50, 60% this year in December 1st, would pick a random game late in the season, I bet you his agent this year will be like, you better get your ass off the field. You're going to cost yourself tens of millions of dollars if you're going to try to play through this thing when they're telling you just need a week or two off.
I don't think Mayfield would listen to his agent about that. I don't think he would.
You're both right. I think Steve's absolutely on the money, but I think you're right. I think Mayfield's hard-headed enough, like, nope.
Ira, we'll be back next week unless you got a final thought. Lee, you got a final thought?
No.
Well, I was 40% for this podcast. I showed up. I played.
You did. You look sharp, though. You look sharp. You look 90. You play 40. Not bad.
He's got
not
the
bad.
Coral golf shirt.
Weekend plans?
Listen to the podcast on Saturday. It's all built around listening to the podcast.
What are you
going
to do?
No. We're going away. We're going away.
All right. Anything fun?
Yeah, a little beach trip.
A little beach trip? A little beach trip for the Sage.
See, when you say going away, Ira, that could be interpreted very differently.
I understand.
All right. We'll be back on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Get shopping Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Don't be foolish. Don't go elsewhere first. BillCurryFord.com. And get to their website now, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. So you're prepared. Doesn't have to be a storm. Could be water damage. You call them. They'll get out there. All right. Sage is out.